All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Right After Dragon. Stats and Curry here. Wow, we are fresh off. It's 10:07 Eastern Standard Time here, and we are absolutely fresh off of the episode tonight. Curry, my man, what are you thinking? Wow, a lot to digest, right?
Yeah, that was a packed episode. I feel like they've just been pumping out hit after hit, and so much happened in that episode. So many major power moves, and we got to discuss it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. So much to break down. Let's just take it from the top, Kerr. Lay it on me. Where do you want to start here? Let's start title of the episode.
Sure, absolutely. So, title of the episode, as we discussed on our preview pod, was Driftmark,
mm-hmm.
which the
drama
entire
mark.
Episode, yeah, the entire episode took place in Driftmark, which is in the seat of House Velaryon. So
absolutely,
where it was.
Sapochnik, right off the bat. I didn't realize we were in for a Sapochnik episode.
Oh, it was a Sapochnik episode.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
No wonder it was so good.
Exactly. So Sapochnik, right off the cut, which was bode well for the hour there. And we start at the seat of the sea, right, Curry? We're at a funeral, as we discussed. Weddings and funerals, bringing the family together. And we are at a funeral for sure to kick this off.
Yes. So start off, we knew from the preview, from the photos, from the trailer that we're going to have a funeral. And that's what we see right away. We have a funeral for Laena Velaryon. We have her uncle, Corlys's brother, is kind of leading the eulogy, speaking High Valyrian, and the camera's showing us all the cast, everyone who's there, and we have Viserys and Alicent are there, Plato's there, Plato's back. There was a shot of him, with his pin, so we know Plato's back.
Quick
as the Hand of the King.
Yeah. Quickly transpired, right? Before
very quick
before even funeral happened. I mean, that's a matter of days or weeks, right? So very
but
quick
before Lionel Strong's body's even cooled off from his ending, Plato's already got the pin back on. So
we get some eulogy, as we said, by the uncle, the brother of the Sea Snake, and we get some laughing Daemon, right, because of what he's speaking. Did you read that a lot, or were you just kind of like, yeah, go ahead.
I did. So that was one of the things that we talked again earlier this week about how would Lord Corlys react to his grandchildren, and he took it very well, and we'll get into that a little bit. But right off the bat, we see the uncle with his line during the eulogy. He said,
shade.
He's staring daggers into Rhaenyra and her boys. She said, he says, our blood runs thick and true, and it never thins, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And Daemon laughs. And Daemon laughs in the middle of the funeral.
For his wife.
And look, everyone, for his wife. Everyone processes grief their own way.
Yeah.
I know people that laugh during tragedies. It happens. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this was not a dealing with grief laugh. This was a, oh my God, he's talking
going
about your bastard children during my wife's funeral, and
exactly.
He laughs.
Exactly.
So yeah, he was taking shots, and that was setting the stage for some a not so warm reception for the Velaryon Targaryen boys, but it turned out not to be so bad with their family there.
And so the body gets cast out to sea. No, it doesn't float, just right to the bottom. It's a sinker. The casket there. I thought it might float out like a nice little peaceful, like that you see in some of these
almost
other...
almost like a Viking funeral type thing.
Exactly. Right to the clink, right to the bottom.
Yeah. This was the cement shoes type of funeral, just straight to the bottom, sleeping with the fishes.
Absolutely, sleeping with the fishes for sure. Now we get like this post-op like Shiva vibes, and it's like there's like three or four epicenters for the episode. And this is one of them. This like Shiva post, like the lunch after the funeral, where everyone goes and chatters up. And this is a lot transpires here, right?
Yeah. So After the funeral, there was a shot of, like, a long shot of Driftmark, and we saw, I think it might have been 6 dragons. This is the most dragons we've seen, you know, all together since, like, Daenerys had her 3. Like, this is crazy to see
dragon
all the dragons.
Dragon party, yeah.
Dragon party. And the first people we see having a scene during the post funeral, you know, gathering, we have the children. So we have Aegon and Helaena and Aemon. And Helaena is
she's strange.
She's playing with a spider, and she's kind of like speaking like weird like phrases, incantations, almost like very odd. Helaena is an oddball for sure. and Aegon and Aemon say as much, or at least Aegon does.
So
we find out through their dialogue that Aegon and Helaena are betrothed to wed.
Yeah.
So that's something we found out this week, and he's not pumped about it. And Aemon is like, you know, oh, I would do it. You know, our pure bloodline, blah blah blah. It's your duty. Like, I would do it. All right, Aemon, you're weird, man. You're a little you're a little too excited about the prospect of marrying your sister.
Weirdo for sure.
He is a weirdo. So that's what we find out. Aegon is just he's having a good time. He's drinking up.
Yeah, like father, like son.
Yeah, so he's boozing again. People process grief in their own way. Although I don't think he was too sad. He doesn't really know.
Yeah,
Helaena Velaryon that much.
Yeah.
So then we see Rhaenyra is talking to her boys, Jacaerys, Lucerys, Jace, and Luke.
Yeah, Jace and Luke.
And she says to Jace, says, you know, oh, you know, why don't you go comfort your cousins?
Yeah.
You know, Baela and Rhaena. You know, they just lost their mother. And then he kind of says something like, oh, you know, but what about me? Like, I should be sad too. I lost our father. And she's like, in panic mode. She's like, you cannot talk about this. This is not happening. We will grieve for him another time. But you know, not talking about it.
Yeah. Lock in here. Come on, bud.
Yeah. So Jacaerys knows that he is Harwin's son. He's accepted it. He's okay with it. And he's talking about it with his mother.
Yeah.
So Jacaerys, he ends up going over to Baela and Rhaena, kind of awkwardly stands there, and then one of them grabs his hand and holds his hand. And that was kind of a cute moment.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know which one was which. They're twins. I think it was Baela, but I'm not sure. So, but yeah, so one of them holds his hand. Cute moment. Kind of maybe some foreshadowing. Maybe they end up, you know, having a little romance later. I don't know. But it was just innocent hand holding for now between the two of them.
Yes. Yeah, he was awkward. And, you know, he could tell he's wearing the Harrenhal burning. You know, it was genuine. It wasn't like confusion. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, you know, what should we be thinking? It was like, nah, he was bummed. And we didn't get to see too much of Harwin with him and like with the crew and like you know, playing like stepdad, real dad type vibes, but you can tell that there's a legitimate relationship there and a legitimate feeling of loss for the boys for sure. So then we get a little Lukey sea snake interaction, which is it's like it's grandpa, like, but it's not, but it is grandpa on paper. And he tells him, like, he'll be Lord of the Sea, right?
Yeah, so, and this was a cool moment, you know? It showed that Corlys doesn't care that they're not his blood. Either that or he didn't know, but it seems like everyone kind of knows. But, yeah, Corlys, he's talking to Luke, and he says, you're going to be Lord of Driftmark one day. He's, like, real like a proud grandfather.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you know, Jace is going to be the king, and you're going to be Lord of Driftmark. Like, isn't that awesome? And Luke's kind of really upset about it. He says, you know, I don't want it because that means everyone's dead.
Yeah.
And that's a really dark line from such a young kid, but he's experienced a lot of loss recently. And it's true, because if he's Lord of Driftmark, that means Lord Corlys is gone, and you know, King's gone.
Mom's gone.
Yeah. So that's pretty heavy stuff for a little kid to be spouting off.
Yeah, it was perspective type vibes. We're so focused on, you know, especially in this one comparatively. I mean, Thrones was a little bit like that, but this one just in terms of, Succession vibes. It's like everyone's so focused on like future next. And this guy's like, dude, like, I don't want like you dad or like grandpa dad or like you know mom jammed up like all that like. And so like everyone's tied up on this. The kid's like, dude, like, chill, like, you know, that means everybody's gone, you know. So a little perspective there. Also, we got to cut these kids' bangs. Jason, Luke, dude, they need to get a haircut. These guys can barely see.
Get some dye. Maybe dye it blonde. Yeah. You know, try to fit in a little bit.
Yeah, a little frosted tips, maybe. Anything. Yeah. to just get it going. Some NSYNC vibes. I don't know. But Aegon's boozing up like Viserys has at some of these guys.
He's getting hammered. Yeah,
he's feeling it. And so. Where do you want to go next? I mean, we got.
So still, you know, we're still wrapping up the. The funeral. So, Laenor is taking it really tough. We saw he was crying during the funeral, and now we see a shot of him. He's wading out in the tide, just kind of like waist deep, just standing there by himself,
unsafe,
just distraught, staring into nothing, like just. Can't, like, again, everyone deals with grief in their own way, and I'm not sure that's the healthiest way to deal with it, just sitting out there in the tide by yourself. And everyone kind of notices this, like, from the shore, and Lord Corlys is not happy. He grabs Carl with a cue, Carl, and says, go get your patron. Which, you know, he actually means, hey, go get your man.
Yeah, get your lover boy, for sure.
Yeah.
And and it's not subtle either. You know,
it's not subtle. Like he's making a scene.
He's pissed. And so it was just them showing that Laenor is jammed up right now in a big way.
He's taking it tough. He's taking it tough for sure.
Now we get the king and his brother Daemon. We get a little interaction from them. The king is just looking absolutely. We're getting like some king in like motion, and it's just not pretty.
The king had a rough episode. Does not look good. Every episode he gets worse.
He's withering.
This is the most we've seen him like move physically since he like fainted at the wedding. Like he struggles just to walk, and he's got one arm and he's got a cane, and he just the struggle. And mentally he also is lapsing a little bit. We'll get to that in a second. But so. We have Viserys and Daemon.
And the younger brother doesn't take a light on him either. He says the gods haven't been good to you, my brother. Like, Christ.
That was a good line. He very politely said, you look like shit.
Exactly.
The gods have been especially cruel to you.
Yes.
But
the king invites him home, right? The king invites him home.
Yes. Big moment. So this was another thing we were looking forward to in the preview pod, was how will Daemon be received by Viserys and the rest of the family, since he hasn't seen them in so many years. And Viserys is like, hey, we'll let bygones be bygones. Come back. There's a place for you in my court. Come back, come home. And Daemon says, Pentos is my home, and I don't need anything from you. And again, this could just be his response. This could be his grief.
Yeah.
But he seems pretty bitter about the way things have been over the past 10 years or so with his family, and doesn't want to reunite, doesn't want to reconcile.
Yeah.
Not with his brother.
Yeah. Until 48 minutes later, he's got different.
With his niece.
Exactly.
But So Daemon finishes up with Viserys and then speaks to Plato.
Love this.
Because Plato was there, of course, fucking Plato, and he just kind of grabs him and says, you know, hey, you know, sorry for your loss. And Daemon, this part, again, I don't watch with subtitles. This part, I kind of missed what Daemon's actual quote was, but you got it for me. His overall vibe was very negative towards Plato. Very much go after yourself, something like that.
Yeah, it was a leech. It was like a leech grows fatter and can't stop, like, trying to fucking get fatter and fatter. Like, you're a fucking leech, and I know your deal, and you're back in here because you can't stay away from fucking sucking the blood out of this shit.
Perfect.
So... Now we got your boy Carl with a cue, drags Laenor back in, and that just kind of happens amidst everything going on here. So he's back in the fold, and that's kind of it. That's kind of it for the luncheon, right, Kerr?
Yeah. So it's getting dark fast.
Yeah. Sunset early.
Viserys says he's going to bed, and on his way out, before he says that, he walks by Alicent and he says, "Emma, I'm going to bed."
Yeah.
And Emma is his late wife, obviously, and. not Allison's name. So
yeah
she's that was kind of a subtle moment there. They didn't like draw attention to it, but just like, hey, Viserys, you're losing a little bit there.
Yeah, he's slipping for sure. And but he heads out. We got a little Sir Criston. Sir Criston's such a, he went from like kind of a hoss to just like such a little bitch, I feel like. Just like so, like got his heart like kind of broke a little bit, or like whatever you want to say, with a princess, and now he's like just lapdog of the queen. I don't know. I don't love it. And we got a little bit of that on Viserys' way out from the luncheon, that, you know, whole stay with her, and we get more of that later in the epi for sure. But now we cut away to the sea snake, his wife, and, you know, the grieving parents here, and, you know, they're doing some back and forth, and we learn a lot about the sea snake here, I think, because we talked about this earlier in the pod, earlier in the season, about his intentions, and he kind of veiled his pursuit of what he called legitimacy, I believe, and legacy, I should say.
Legacy.
With, you know, the unfairness and the unjustified, you know, of his wife not getting the crown. Now he kind of comes out and says it like, listen, if you don't care about that, like, I don't give a shit. It's not really about that. It's about this whole legacy thing. And the sea snake's on that trip for sure here in this scene.
Right. So he brings it up again, that, you know, the crown was yours and I just want to win it back. Like he's kind of, you know, putting it that way, like that's his position.
Yeah, that's his angle.
For his
yeah.
wife, but she kind of says no. Like I, and again, she said this before. She said, you know, I put that behind me. Like this is what you want. Like I don't want this anymore. I don't care. And he's, like you said, yeah. He says, what is life if not the pursuit of legacy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, you know, I want my, I, you know, my name is going to be on the Iron Throne. Like I don't want the Iron Throne, but you know, not for me, for my legacy. And Rhaenys is not on board with that, and she says, look, I want Driftmark to pass to Baela.
Yeah,
and you should, you know, come out and make it so, and you should, you know, they are our true blood. She comes out right out and says, she says, look, you know, Rhaenyra's children are not our true blood, but Daemon's are, and you know, I want Driftmark to pass to Baela. And Corlys stands up. Grandpa stands up for his grandkids. He says, you want me to cast a darker shadow over these boys than there is already. You know, history does not remember blood, but it remembers names. And that's a pretty good point. And
Thronesian point, yeah.
It's one that they, most, you know, people in Game of Thrones or as a society, they don't really agree with for the most part. They're very strict on blood and legitimacy, and, you know, oh, who's a bastard, who's not, oh, bastard can't be king. Like they're very, very much into that, and Corlys doesn't care. He said, and he made it clear, you know, weeks ago, episodes ago, that he wants his name to be carried on when they brokered the marriage of Rhaenyra and Laenor. He said, oh, what about the children? You know, traditionally they'll keep the husband's name, they'll be Velaryon, right? So he wants his name to continue on. He wants his legacy to be carried on through his name. So he doesn't care that they're not his kids, that they don't look like him. You know, he's being a proud grandpa. He's going to have, you know, Luke is going to be the Lord of Driftmark. So he's being very supportive and goes against his wife there.
Yeah, I think that, and it's such a, like, I always feel bad for the situation because, like Laenor, like it's like not like their fault really. Like Laenor is just, you know, he's gay, you know, and so I think that it's not like, and like the queen doesn't know that. Like no one, like I feel like if that could just kind of be like had out, like it would almost like kind of be like, oh, okay, like this makes a lot more sense. Like, you know what I'm saying? And obviously the sea snake knows that, so I think that's like what's behind, you know, if his son was, you know, that wasn't the circumstance as to why, you know, they weren't of his blood, then I think he'd probably have a different opinion. But he's like, he understands the situation, and he's like, listen, like you said, like, they remember names. Like, that's just how it is. And so, like, I don't really give a shit, like, that this didn't go down and they don't have blonde hair and, you know, yada, yada, yada. It's about legacy. and he puts a he stands up like you said, and he squashes a grieving mother for sure. So, but
right, I want to correct you there. You said something about they don't know that Lainor's gay. I think that's kind of like an open secret that everyone kind of knows that Lainor's gay.
You think that the queen knows that?
When you say the queen, Alicent?
Yeah.
Yes, she makes a comment later in the episode. About maybe he's entertaining his young squire.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Everyone kind of knows.
Then it's just a little odd that she's so hell bent on the fact that, you know, I don't know. We can continue on, but I'm just saying it's just like the situation's more than just Rhaenyra, you know, running around town doing whatever she pleases.
Right.
You know,
right,
and so it's
exactly.
Just. But yeah, good point.
But really, like she is doing her duty. You know, she did the marriage that she.
Exactly.
The political marriage. She did her duty. She just also happened to, you know, have her cake and eat it too. She got to,
yeah.
You know, and we get into that. That goes into the next scene. So
yeah,
we have Rhaenyra and Daemon, walking along the beach, having like a little very late night walk, and they're talking. Just they're catching up. It's been a while, and she talks about the relationship. She says we did try to conceive. You know, the few times we laid together and it just, you know, it didn't happen. And she even says as much to Lainor later in the episode. She says, oh, you know, it would have been so much easier if we had conceived. And then, you know, she talks to him about, talking to Daemon about the Strongs at Harrenhal. She says something about, oh, Harren's curse, you know, and it's awful.
He squashes that.
Yeah, and Damon's like, no, like that's bullshit. I don't think this was a curse. This was an act of, you know, someone did this. But Rhaenyra says, you know, well, I don't believe Alicent is capable of this kind of murder. So she's given her the benefit of the doubt, and she's right because this wasn't Alicent's plan. Mm. But they haven't all they no one no one's pointing any fingers at Larys Strong yet.
No,
so
and it's
sneaking around.
Yeah, it gave me back to the vibes of when. Alicent gave Rhaenyra the benefit of the doubt, and she was like,
yeah,
you know,
very similar.
And so she was like, yeah, I don't think she would be like that. But yeah, Daemon's not buying it for sure. And then they get into the, you know, the Daemon Rhaenyra, the history mm-hmm. of them. So go ahead, Kerr.
Yeah, so she's upset with him. She says, look, you know, you abandoned me. You know, it's been 10 years, and she was left without any allies, and or, you know, with few allies, and this is, you know, this is what's happened to me. I've popped out kids. I've been doing my duty, and you abandoned me. And then she says something along the lines of, you know, but look, like I was a child then, and I needed you, and I'm no longer a child. And then they have a big make out and lead to this secret beach hut.
Yeah, rendezvous. Villa. They got a villa. Yeah. Little beach villa session for the niece and her uncle.
When they first went in for the kiss, I mean, obviously it was a big, you know, tense moment. It was slow. I'm watching. I'm thinking, all right, someone has to be like watching them. Yeah. Otherwise, why would they keep showing this like long angle that they were showing the long shot? But there was no one was watching, as far as we know. I really thought we were going to see
Plotto.
Either Aemond or Plotto, because we knew Aemond had kind of been out on the run.
Yeah.
And Plotto, just because he's Plotto, he's always lurking in the shadows.
Exactly.
But no one was watching. Big makeout, beach hot sex. Good for them.
Yeah.
Daemon,
congrats
Rhaenyra,
on the sex.
They're hot and heavy. They're back. Yeah.
Congrats on the sex for sure. Daemon did fight it a little bit, where he did say like he loved his wife and he found love, and so it wasn't, you know, the.
He said something like they made each other happy. He didn't quite say he loved her, but it was, you know, it was a good thing for sure.
And but yeah, Rhaenyra was definitely the pursuant of the exchange. But yeah, so that goes down, and then we get, first of all, can we get some, this was like oh my god, it's eluding my mind, but the episode where it was hard to see anything from Game of Thrones, what, the original, you know,
yes, the battle in the dark, that one.
Yeah it was giving me, like, can we get some moonlight, like, can we, you know, I end up turning off all the lights in the room to get that full effect, because it was a dark, this whole part was like very dark and very like hard to see a little bit, but we get Aemond on the loose, right?
Yeah, so Aemond, we had seen him earlier. He kind of slipped out of the funeral, like, after party. It was when Plotto grabbed Aegon, who was passed out drunk, and was like, you know, threw him up the stairs to get to bed.
Yes.
And then Aemon slipped out. So,
middle child.
Aemon
causing a ruckus.
Yes, middle child. We know from last episode, you know, they presented him with a pig and they laughed at him and he was all upset that he doesn't have a dragon. So, he's out here. He's just roaming to nowhere. And my thought initially is he going after a dragon? Is he going to try to ride a dragon? That is what he's after. So he shows up. He finally gets to where the dragons are. He's very far from the castle. We see that. Mm-hmm. And he comes upon Vhagar, biggest dragon, doesn't have a rider at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, her last rider was dearly departed Laena.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Bela and Rhaena, only one of them has a dragon. I forget which one. I apologize, but it was mentioned last week that, you know, the one was upset that she doesn't have a dragon. So clearly she is logically would be the one to inherit Vhagar.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Aemon, you got to give him credit here. He made some big power moves, took some balls, took
some moxie.
He was
for
brave.
Sure.
Some moxie. He went up, he you know, wakes up the largest dragon in the world, and is speaking the words, you know, Dohaerys means serve. He keeps saying, you know, Dohaerys, Vhagar, and you know, he's taking control, and he mounts Vhagar, climbs up that huge net thing. And I was scared for him at this point. He's on Vhagar. Vhagar takes off, and the girls see that Vhagar takes off. They're awake.
Mm-hmm.
So they're freaking out. And Daemon's he's like barely hanging on. He's not strapped in. Does not have a seatbelt on.
Mm.
He has no idea what he's doing. And he, give him credit, he ends up, you know, kind of taking control and riding Vhagar, going on a nice little joyride, and he handles it well.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the girls, they go wake Jace and Luke. They say someone stole Vhagar. We heard that on the preview.
Mm-hmm.
And Daemon's also watching. We find, he's watching Vhagar. Rhaenyra wakes up on the beach. She sees that Vhagar is out. So this is a big deal to have a giant dragon like Vhagar just out, you know, with or without a rider. So, but they, I guess everyone can kind of see that there's a rider. So, when Aemon gets back, he is received by the girls, Bela, Rhaena, and Jason Luke.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, at this point, like, you're of the understanding that, like, Vhagar is now his?
So
That's like a little
point,
odd, yeah.
Yeah, like, I wasn't fully convinced. Like, I don't know how this works. I didn't realize...
Yeah, like, what is this?
You know, that one time riding a dragon makes you bonded as their ride. Like, I don't think that's how it works. You know, from Game of Thrones, like, Daenerys... She rode like all three, I guess. Like, I don't think she only rode Drogon. I mean, I guess she rode Drogon the most, but, and then we know, you know, Jon Snow rode one of the dragons. He's also Targaryen, also could have bonded, but it's not like he was like, okay, not like the dragon that Jon rode was now Jon's.
Exactly. Like, that's something that was like a little, like, I was like, do I like not know something like that, like everyone else knows that, like, oh, like, you know, first guy that like touches, like taps in, like automatically like gets his nameplate on the dragon. You know, it's like, so that was like a little, I don't want to say plot hole-ish, but it's just kind of like, okay, like you took him for a 6-minute joyride where you were like falling off the back. Now suddenly like no one else can ride him or her.
Yeah, it's a little odd. It
especially because they made such a big deal about it. Like, because it was like, oh, like, you know, and we'll get to it, but it was like, you know, this big trade where it's like, okay, I guess it's like automatic default his,
mm-hmm.
but continue. So yeah, we get like a little bit of like little Giants vibes with these like kids like hanging out and like not hanging out, but like now there's like a little scrum going on.
Yes. So this was one of the biggest moments of the episode
of the season, probably
of the season. Yeah, it reminded me of you know, back talking Game of Thrones, like when Joffrey gets attacked by Arya's direwolf. Like, it reminded me of that kind of moment. So we have Aemon, and he's just being a total insufferable dick. He says, you know, the girls are like, you know, oh, like you took Vhagar, like that's my mom's dragon, and he's just mercilessly, just no remorse, just your mom's dead.
Yeah.
And you know Vhagar's mine now, and you know, oh, if you wanted her, you should have claimed her. I claimed her.
Yeah.
So.
And he gets physical. I mean, he's punching.
Yeah, he gets physical like right away, and yeah. He hits a girl. The other girl hits him. Gets a really really good shot on him. But he's bigger and stronger than everyone there. He's older.
Yeah.
So he knocks the two girls down. Then Jace and Luke get involved, and he's bigger than Jace. And you know he's knocking Jace down, and Luke is so little, so he knocks Luke down. Like he's getting bloody. Like he gets a good shot on Luke,
he's
breaks his nose.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, he's got a hand on Luke. He's hammering him. Then they all gang up. They're all on top of Aemond at one point. Like it's a pretty big like
scrum,
you know, kid fight.
Yeah, it's a huge scrum.
And Aemond ends up kind of getting back on top. He's got a rock in his hand. It's like, you know, what are you gonna do with the rock? He's being a bully. I mean, he calls them bastards. He says, you know, your father's dead. And Luke is like, you know, my father's not dead. Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, oh, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
To Jace.
It was
and
crazy.
He calls Jace Lord Strong. Like, yeah, that was a pretty big moment.
This is crazy. Yeah, this was like, and like, this was like, we had no idea what was going to happen. I'm sitting there like, I have no idea how this is going to end. But like, this is like a fucking peak apex type moment here for the season so far. But yeah, he's slinging insults and how he doesn't know, and it's like, oh my goodness, yeah, this is big moment here for the season. But continue, Carr.
And then Jace has a blade. Jace has a knife, and he's using the knife to defend himself, but he doesn't really get any good shots in there.
Yeah.
Aemond's got the rock. Jace is on the ground on the ropes, and Jace throws some dirt in his eyes. And then Luke had grabbed the knife at that point, takes a shot, and just gives him a good slice to his eye, just right in the eye, slices it like
north south.
Good stuff there, Luke. Good stuff.
Absolutely, it's a fight ender, there's mega fallout from here. This is kind of, I think, like the most important part of the season right here, this post game.
Yes. So I will say that I'll get to the end of it with Aemond in his eye. But so the fallout from the fight, the slice is kind of the end of the fight, and then everyone is brought together in like the Great Hall or whatever common area. And you know, the king's woken up, the queen's woken up, everyone's there. Everyone's woken up, and it's like, what happened? What's going on with, you know, all the royal children all fighting?
Yeah.
And you know, one of my thoughts right away was, where's Laenor? And eventually everyone else also says, hey, like, where's Laenor?
Yeah.
And then that's when Alicent says, oh, he's probably entertaining his young squires. Little cheap shot there. But he should have been there, and I'm surprised he wasn't.
Yeah.
And yeah, then there's just huge conflict, and the queen is just going nuts. She's like, "What, you know, what happened? Who hurt my son? Who, you know?" Oh, and she's throwing the strong boys, the Valarian boys, under the bus right away. She's like, "They started. They attacked him."
Yeah.
The Valarian girls, Daemon Valarian girls. They're. I don't know. I don't understand why they didn't just ask those two girls, because they were kind of a neutral party. But
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So, what happened? The king is demanding answers.
It's like almost like a movie, like a drama movie where it's like, you know, the they're not talking anymore, and your son did this. It's like, it was like very much like drama, like happening here, family matter style. So, but go ahead, Kerr.
Yeah. So the king is gathering the facts from people, and then he just goes right to the source, to the children. He says to Aemond, the boys, Luke and Jace. Jace says he called us bastards, and the king does not like that. You know, and he said as much last week when you know those rumors were going around. He didn't want to hear any of it. So he says to Aemond, he says, you know, where'd you hear this? You know, I demand answers. He's getting up in his face.
He's all pissed.
He doesn't say it as your father. He says your king demands an answer. He's pissed, yeah. And Aemond, with his one eye, is you know, the maester said it's gone. It's not, you know, it'll heal. The wound will heal, but the eye won't.
Yeah.
Aemond's there healing. You know, his eyes hurt, and he looks at his mom.
Yeah.
Viserys looks back at Alicent, but then Aemon kind of says, "Oh, it was Aegon."
Yeah. Throw it on the older brother.
Yeah, was it Aegon? Was it the older brother? I mean, always blame the older brother. As a middle child, you always blame the older brother.
Yeah. And so, Aegon has what I think is going to be, you know, Aegon's character here for the rest of the series is his response is you know, Aegon like for sure.
I give respect to Aegon for his response here, because a lot of people, you know, he could have very easily just said like, oh, you know, I heard it from, he could have just made, you know, made something up
chatter,
like
yeah,
but he says, you know, basically says, dad, you know, doesn't call him dad, but he says, we know, everyone knows, just look at them. Like, I mean, he's bold, he's that takes some stones to say to the king, and
he's like, idiot. Yeah, like, come on.
Yeah, everyone knows. And the king, yeah, the king's not happy with that response. He's not happy with the whole situation. And, but basically, I mean, his response is just like, hey, you know, shake hands and make up. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't really have an answer to any of this. Other than he says, you know, there'll be no more speaking of this, or, you know, anyone who speaks of this will lose their tongue.
Yeah.
And he says, all right, you know, children, grandchildren, shake hands and, you know, make up.
Yeah.
And Alicent is not satisfied with that. And she goes off the handles. She says, you know, I want an eye for an eye.
Crazy.
Flat out.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Crazy, yeah. I want an eye for an eye. And then she puts it on Ser Criston. She's, you know, oh, if the king won't do anything, the queen will. Ser Criston, bring me one of Luke's eyes. And
he's about
Rhaenyra's like, you know, is he? I mean, he's thinking about it. He's thinking about it.
Said, I'm saying, like, he didn't say, like, this is crazy. He said, like, as your servant, like, and then, like, he kind of chilled. But I'm saying, like, he was not like, you know, I swear to the king first.
That's
gets squirrely.
Alicent says, you know, you swore allegiance to me, but he paused. He said, as your protector. Like, he didn't. Mm. He's not her attack dog. He's her protect dog.
Yeah.
So I you know, good on you there. But also, if it wasn't a room full of people, and if Sir Harold wasn't there, then, you know, maybe he would have.
Yeah.
But different circumstances. I think for sure he would have taken in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
So then she kind of, we think she cools off, like she's done with this eye stuff, and Ser Criston's not going to do it. You know, Daemon was held back by Ser Criston. Oh, sorry, we're not there yet. All right, we're about to get there. So then as Viserys is walking away, Alicent grabs his dagger from his waist, the cat's paw dagger.
Yeah,
and just straight up attacks Rhaenyra, goes to attack Rhaenyra. I don't know if she was going to attack Luke, or if she was going to attack Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
She was probably going for Luke, but Rhaenyra steps in and, you know, stops her from trying to stab her, you know, grabs her arm, and, you know, Daemon was trying to step in. Criston stops Daemon. A bunch of people stop Criston. Just a wild exchange here. This was a very heated moment. This is a declaration of war between the two of them.
Absolutely.
And they have dialogue during this time, which is odd because she's got a knife to, you know, try and stab her. But
yeah,
talking about duty, sacrifice, and she's going off. Everything that all this built up hatred that she's had for Rhaenyra, she's just going off here. You know, where's your duty? Where's your sacrifice? Blah blah blah. And Rhaenyra kind of wins this battle. She says, you know, I can't believe, you know, you've been hiding this, your truth, and now everyone sees you as you are.
Yeah. Which was huge.
And huge. And Plato hops in there. He says, you know, drop the dagger, drop the knife. And before she drops it, she, you know, they put their arms down, or they force each other's arms down, and she does slice Rhaenyra. Gets a pretty good cut on her forearm.
Yeah. Which was like everyone just like stops. Like, is this fucking serious? Like, unbelievable. And real quick, what I just want to say is, like, because she does throw that shot at Laenor, but like it's like you think she might get like a little bit of a pass because of like the whole situation, but it's like nah, like she there's no, it's all duty, it's all honor, it's all, and she, you could, the pure hatred for Rhaenyra. You know, there have been some times post, you know, her marrying the king where, you know, it's like, hey, we used to be really good friends, like, you know, buddy, but it's just so gone. So far gone, and the hatred is so real, and so she's such disdain in her her comments here as she's got the cat's paw dagger lifted up. That yeah, there's a declaration of war, 100%.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like after she stabbed Rhaenyra, like everyone was just kind of looking around, mostly at the king, at Viserys, to be like, hey, like what are you gonna do? Like what? Look at what just happened. What are you gonna do?
Feeble king.
Yeah, feeble king, and he doesn't really do anything. Again, he just kind of wants everyone to just, you know, kumbaya, just, you know, kiss and make up and stop. And that's clearly not going to happen. And he hasn't, yeah, he doesn't put his foot down. I mean, a king, he can do whatever he wants. He could have said, you just stabbed my daughter. Like, we're done. You're done.
You're bad.
Feeding you to the dragons. Like, yeah, like he could have done whatever he wanted, but he really, he can't.
He's like checked out. He's checked out and / feeble. Like, he just doesn't.
He's checked out. He doesn't want to be bothered with this shit. Like, he just wants to play with his trains and toys and not have everyone, you know, trying to kill each other. And
just give it to Rhaenyra when I die, and let's just have a good time. Daemon, come on home. You know, like all this. So this is huge, and it's like, this is the episode, and then like, but wait, there's more.
Well, the very end of this, you know, the exchange between Alicent and Rhaenyra, Aemon stands up and he says, you know, Mom, it's okay.
Yeah, big.
I lost an eye, but I gained a dragon. Like, it's a fair trade.
Yeah, so triumphant.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the part when I realized, I'm like, really, like, he gained a dragon? Like, that's 100% for sure?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like we were talking about before, I didn't realize that just because he rode a dragon one time means that she's now his. Like, how did no one ride Vhagar from Pentos over to Driftmark?
It's a little crazy.
Yes. So anyway, so
and it's like for
he
that,
says
that's
I gained
like
a dragon.
So important. Like that's like you know, for brother, I lost it. And even because then even Plato says like it was worth 1,000. The price he paid is 1,000 times worth what he got for it. It's like because he fucking mounted up for 6 minutes. Like, come on.
Right, and that's the next scenes. Plato and Alicent are talking, and we hadn't seen Plato do much yet this episode, but he's like so proud of her. He's so proud of her. He's like, I've never seen that side of you. I didn't know you had that in you.
You and I will prevail.
You know, it's an ugly. Yeah, he says, you know, it's an ugly game, and now I know you have the determination to win it, and you and I together will prevail. And it's like, whoa, like he never included himself in this before. It was always like, you know, you will marry the king, you will be the queen, and your children will be on the throne. It was never about him.
No.
I mean, it was about his legacy, basically. You know, he's similar to Lord Corlys, but he never said you and I. Like, it was never an I thing.
Yeah.
So that was the first time he said you and I will prevail, which is interesting.
Yeah, and it's full green. The team green is united and ready to rock, and that's on display there for sure. Anything else between those two before we get to Laenor coming back after a night on the table?
Yeah, no. So that was it. And like you said, he said, you know, that rogue Aemon winning Vhagar to our side is worth it. And that's, again, yeah. He's already, you know, trying to match up the team, up the teams,
yeah,
and he's like, all right, well, we have Vhagar, and we have, you know, Aegon has a dragon. We have Aegon's dragon. They have Daemon. They have Rhaenyra. They have, you know, Bela or Rhaenys, whoever's a dragon. They have what's her name? They have Rhaenys, you know, they probably have her dragon, but who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
So it seems like the Greens don't have as many dragons on their side, but
just doubled their count,
getting Vhagar was a big win for sure.
Yeah, they just doubled their count, and he is or she is the biggest in the game. So then we get Laenor coming back from a night on the town. Everybody mourns in different ways. And he's got no idea what happened.
Yeah, I want to like Laenor,
yes.
But like he just sucks in big moments.
Yeah, big
like
moments.
This.
He's just not clutch.
It's not the first time he's been a letdown. And
yeah,
So he shows up and he's like, oh, I should have been there. And Rhaenyra even jokes. She's like, you know, that should be our house motto or something.
Exactly.
You know?
Hanging on the wall.
Yeah. And then he tries to step up. He says, you know, they're kind of bonding and they have a good relationship.
I like their dynamic. You know? I like their relationship. Like, it just sucks that it fucks both of them.
Yeah. And he says, look, you know, we we agreed so many years ago that we would do our duty but have our fun, and now I don't think we can do both of those. So, you know, Sir Carl's going back to fighting the Stepstones. I'll rededicate myself to you. I'll be a good husband. I'll be a good father. You know, I love those boys. You know, I'll step up. And Rhaenyra, you know, she didn't say anything, but she didn't really have a reaction there. It was a little odd, which we see a little later. But obviously she's not pumped about this because, you know, she just slept with Daemon and seemed like that was something that she wanted to pursue. Maybe.
Yeah, she did talk about it a little bit. Yeah.
So, and the very next scene is Daemon and Rhaenyra, and they're talking to each other. You know, she's talking to, you know, fire is power, and the Valyrian, the Targaryens, Valyrians, like, they had fire, and it's all about fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then Daemon's like, oh, well, you know, the Valyrians, they have the sea offers an escape, and fire is a prison. And yeah, just kind of talking about
Thronesian macro takes.
And then we get a shot of the next scene that cut away from Daemon and Rhaenyra. We get Larys Strong, who he hadn't really had a scene yet. We had seen him, but much dialogue yet.
He makes the trip. Yeah.
Yes, he was on the trip. We know he's important. He's probably in the Small Council, unconfirmed, but.
And Kristen Cole did give him a little bit, like, hey, he's been looking over here, like a little bit of a whack job. And she was like, oh, he's just proud because he's now the Lord, like, chill, chill, chill. Like,
mm.
But Kristen Cole's got a little – his eyes are on that a little bit, which I – maybe slight foreshadowing, but we'll see.
Yes. So, Larys, he's talking to Queen Alicent. He's clearly still trying to be her servant. He says, look, you know, if you want an eye, I'm your servant. I'll get it done. Say the word.
Yeah, he's unreal.
And she's like, no, I don't need that. Like, she kind of needed to be clear. Like, I feel like if she didn't say anything, he would have done it. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, she's like, no, you don't need to do that. And I feel like he almost, like, gave her – he was going to give her a wink. Be like, oh, yeah, don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
I won't do it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, she's like, you know, look, your devotion doesn't go unnoticed, and in the future I may need a servant –
yeah,
with discretion. That was like the key phrase that she used when talking to him, and he was very discreet with everything at Harrenhal.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like anyone suspects him, and he cut out the tongues of the prisoners that he used for that. So he knows how to be discreet, and it seems like the only one who has their eye on him is Kristen Cole at this moment.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, he did get buzz. I think that was worth noting. I mean, it's like, if you just, like, line up the teams, Team Red, Team Green, he's, like, certainly – she's, like, yeah, like, you're on Team Green and you're going to be an integral part of Team Green. So just, like, hang tight, bud. And so, you know, he's loving that. And then we get back to Rhaenyra, man. Rhaenyra is after what she wants, for sure.
Yeah, so she's talking to Daemon. You know, they're watching Viserys and Alicent and everyone sail away. And – she says, you know, I need you, uncle. She's speaking to him in Valyrian. I need you, uncle. I cannot face the Greens alone. You know, be my husband and prince consort.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, like, that's...
That's aggressive.
That's a big, big, yeah, big proposal, big, big move there from her. And it's like, wait, what about Laenor? Like, that's what the audience is thinking. That's what Daemon's thinking. He even says that. He says, look, I can't marry you unless Laenor's dead. And there's, like, a dramatic pause, and I'm like, oh, my God, like, she knows that. Like, she knows what she's saying, and she says that. She says, I know.
Yeah, I know.
So like, that was – so she's proposing to Daemon at this point, like, hey, like, we need to get rid of Laenor so that we can get married, and, you know, no one's going to question my claim if the two of us are married, or, you know, my claim will be much stronger if we're married.
Yeah.
So that was the big takeaway from that scene, is that the two of them are – planning to get rid of Laenor. And right away we have Daemon talking to Sir Carl with the Q.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a photo of Carl, yeah, in the promo photos. Yeah, this is Pace. Everything at the end just escalated very quickly. Daemon, hooded figure Daemon, his little disguise.
Yes, he loves that look.
So he's talking to Carl and kind of, you know, being coy, being nice, you know, introducing himself a little, like, hey, you know, I heard you're a great, great fighter in the Stepstones.
Well, Carl's getting Carl's getting shipped off too. That's kind of like where Carl's coming from,
yeah,
too, right? Because we have this recommitted husband, that is Lainor, and so he's getting shipped off, and so he's got he's got some motivation.
Yeah. So Damon says to him something along the lines of, you know, look, I know places in Pentos where doesn't matter what your name is, doesn't matter where your family is, but it just matters how much gold you have. So, and then he kind of slips him some gold. I don't know how much, but it seemed like a lot.
It seemed like enough.
Gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, what do you want? What are you suggesting? And all Damon says basically is I want a quick death and witnesses. And it's like, what is he talking about? Like, is he really, he's going to have Carl, like his lover, he's going to pay Carl, the prince's lover, to kill the prince. Like, that's what's going on right now.
Yeah, it didn't jive.
Yeah, it wasn't adding up. It was very, very odd. This whole end scene happened very quickly. And the first thing we see, and this was the key to the scene, the first thing we see Damon kill some random guy, like, on the staircase.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, wait, what? Like, who was that? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Damon kills a random guy on the staircase. And then we see Carl is in Lord Corlys's, like, not chambers, but like his private hall,
yeah,
or whatever, like the fireplace, the chairs.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lainor is like, wait, like, who let you in here? Like, what's going on? And they talk a little shit and they draw swords. And it's like, whoa, like, what is going on? Like, this escalated so quickly.
Yeah.
And like, the one squire who's there, he, like, runs out after, you know, after they both are getting real violent, taking a lot of blows at each other with the swords, and the squire runs out. He's like, I'll get Lord Corlys, I'll get people. So the two of them are left alone.
I'll get
alone.
Witnesses, yeah.
Yeah, two of them are left alone in there. So we're fighting, and by the time anyone comes back, we see there's a body that's on fire, and that, you know, the fireplace is right there. So yeah, there's a body that's on fire, and it's, you know, Lainor's.
It's a great plan.
Necklace,
it's a great
and
plan.
Boots and yeah. So when I saw this, once I saw that it was a body and it was all charred, it clicked for me. I got the light bulb.
Yeah.
I don't know if all the viewers did. I'm sure a lot of them did. I'm not trying to say I'm smarter than anyone, but that's when it clicked. I'm like, okay, the random guy that Damon killed in the hallway, that's the body. So,
yo, bait and switch.
Then we get the wedding scene. Damon, Rhaenyra, married, and really, we haven't seen a wedding scene like this before, where they're wearing like blood makeup and doing the blood hands, you know, and very, very different wedding than we've seen before, but no one died at this wedding, so good for them.
Yeah, quick one.
Which, very on Thrones like.
A lot of blood like a Thrones wedding, but no death, for sure.
Yes, and the kids are looking on, and now Jason and Baela, Jason Rhaenyra, they're step siblings, so that'll be weird.
They'll get married.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, now they're, it's better for them to be married now that they're brother and sister, right?
Yeah.
Because that's how they do it in Targaryens, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so then the very last scene, of course, is like, it's like early morning, or it's like, you know, late at night, and
dusk, yeah, dusk vibes.
Carl and a hooded figure are rowing out to sea to get on another boat, and we see that it is Sir Lainor, shaved his head, and they're getting away, happy, hopefully.
Yeah.
So that's the last thing we see. So good for them. The plan worked.
Great plan.
And yeah, I'm happy for him.
Yeah. And now everybody wins. Everyone's in position, and this is, we were kind of thinking about, like, how would this position, like, how would these chips kind of fall a little bit? And Damon is married to Rhaenyra. I mean, it's like, we're here. Like, you know, it's like...
That's huge. It's huge for Rhaenyra. It's huge for Damon. It seems like, you know, that's what Damon's kind of been missing, or maybe it seems like that's what both of them have been missing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they both kind of belong with each other. So, big moves for them. And like she said, it makes her claim stronger. No one's going to challenge her claim with Damon. Damon is a wild card, but he's very loyal to Rhaenyra, and she seems to be one of the only people who really, you know, control him and get him, and that, you know, so it seems like a good match and a very strong power move for Team Rhaenyra for the black team.
Yeah, and he's got clout. You know, he was early in the season, he was kind of like this like ragtag like whatever, but that win against the crab feeder, I feel like he's got like a lot of clout amongst like the common folk type vibes. Like he saying it's not he went from like kind of like the outcast brother to post that win, and like since then, you know, amongst the in crew, he's kind of still like a little bit of the whack job because of what happened with Rhaenyra. But I think amongst like the common folk, like I said, I think like Daemon's got like his polling numbers are probably more solid than we think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's respected as a warrior. He's respected as a leader. I think he's a little feared as well, which, you know, to get a little Machiavellian, you know, better to be feared than loved. So
yeah,
I think
they talked about that
he's
a
strong pairing for Rhaenyra.
Yeah,
for
sure. And I just remember when they went on the tour, I think it was, and they were talking about that drama with the woman. I can't remember who it was now, but she was saying how like the Sea Snake and Daemon are like fighting this fight for like the realm.
Mm-hmm.
Down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just curious how much that carries over, that win down there still carries over in terms of clout and you know, acceptance amongst the and positive views amongst the common people who are like the ones who are missing from this. Red versus green is there's the whole other freaking public that's gonna be amongst this whole thing.
Yes, absolutely. The public perception matters. I think the whoever has more or better dragons matters as well. But
mm-hmm.
Public perception, you want the people to support you, you want the people to love you, or you know, at least to respect you as the leader. You know, if Jacaerys ends up on the throne and everyone thinks it's a joke that he's strong, if like the public is all accepting of that, then you know, it's not going to go well for him. And
exactly.
So yeah, you definitely want your people on your side.
Absolutely. So I mean, what an episode, Kerr.
Yeah, yeah, strong episode. Some of the we got the tweets flying in. We were asking people for their thoughts for some GOAT and WOAT nominees.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a longtime listener, Rowan Abbott, tweeting in saying, "Laenor for getting the impossible in the Game of Thrones universe, a happy ending." Now I want to stop her right there because why do you think Laenor? Why do you think this is the end for Laenor? And even further, why do you think it's gonna be happy? Like I don't think this is I don't think it's the end of Laenor. I don't know if we'll see him again, but I don't think it's Game of Thrones. No one gets happy endings, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What else we got? Anything else?
Another tweet, aka Coach D said the best episode GOAT of the week nominee, Aemond. He said Aemond times 1,000 because he stole the dragon and made a big power play. So I think he definitely is a nominee. He had a good episode.
Absolutely. Who else are you thinking for GOAT?
Yes, yeah, so I think Aemond is up there. I think you could say Laenor maybe for his little move. I think both Rhaenyra and Daemon are strong contenders for finally uniting and for pulling off their little scheme with Laenor, and you know, now they're married. So I think the two of them, they might have to be like a joint nominee. You could say Luke for his big moves, stepping up to his uncle.
Yeah,
stepping up to his older uncle and cutting his eye out, stabbing his eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean for Woat, and I think, well, I want to make the case a little bit for Rhaenyra is like she, like, the queen having that outburst, like I think, is a win for her in terms of like now everybody can understand like what's going on here. It's not behind the scenes. It's not, you know, they're gonna try and slide Aegon in here. It's like very much like, hey, this is what's happening. It's not her having to, you know, retreat to Dragonstone because of, you know, these behind the scenes things that are going on. It's all out in the open right now. It's full fledged war, and the queen kind of got shown as, yeah, she's all in on pushing the her kids to the throne for sure. But how about Wout, Kerr?
Some Wout nominees. I think, and again, I gotta get their names right, but Reyna and Bela. I think rough episode for them. Obviously, you know, last week they lost their mother. This week, you know, one of them has a dragon, the other doesn't, and now the other definitely doesn't. You know, she was hoping to get Vhagar, and Aemon just stepped in and stole Vhagar from her. So, big loss for her. I think other Wouts.
The king.
Oh, the king for sure. He's feeble.
He's a pawn. I mean, he's literally nothing. Like, he literally has no power. The power is very much in the queen and Rhaenyra's hands. I feel like, and now it's just waiting for him to kick it. You know, like that's really where they're at, because that's when this thing really really pops off. I feel like, so feeble. Just so feeble.
Yep.
Anyone else? Bad episode. How about Remy?
Yeah, it's tough because there just weren't many. There was only like one central storyline. Like everything was in Driftmark this episode, so it's tough. Like usually there's a couple different storylines playing at the same time, but this one, it was you know, self-contained almost. But.
Yeah. I feel like the Sea Snake's gonna have something to say about all this, because they're like. Thread in is now just with the two, you know, Daemon's two daughters, and so curious to see. CCX's not going quietly, you know, he's not going quietly.
No, definitely not.
And so what that means for everyone, I think, will be interesting. You know, are they just automatically like with Daemon because Daemon's the father of their grandkids? I guess so. I don't know though. So, and what's their reaction to what's happened now, losing both children here in back-to-back episodes? So, just see, we're getting this red versus green, but I think Sea Snake and the crew are definitely going to have something to say about everything as well. Are you calling it red versus green or red versus black? Or,
I mean, green versus black. I think it's green versus black. I hope that's not a spoiler, but that's, yeah, it's something I've seen. Okay. Seen that on Twitter. I think it's green versus black. Yeah.
Okay. I just think of the red the dragon logo, but
the dragon's red. The background's black. I don't know.
Got it.
I don't know if black comes in another way or not. But yeah, that's what we got.
All right. I'll start saying red versus black. Or green versus black. I care. Anything? What are you thinking?
Yeah. So speaking of things I've seen on Twitter, so. Aemond losing his eye, that was something that kind of got spoiled for me on Twitter earlier in the season. And last week when Helena was, you know, being weird, playing with her bugs while Aemond was like complaining, crying to his mom about not having a dragon, one of the things, you know, she's like spouting off nonsense, Helena, one of the things she said was he'll have to lose an eye after Allison said, you will have a dragon one day. And Helena's just off to no one, just says, oh, he'll have to lose an eye. So she has some, I don't know if she has some sort of psychic ability or if that really? Was just like a hat tip from the writers. But yeah, so that was something she said last week. Didn't want to draw attention to it because you wouldn't know unless it was spoiled, and it was spoiled for me. So so Aemond, you know, lost an eye and now he has a dragon. So careful. I'm gonna have to go back and watch what Helena was saying this week,
yeah,
because
what the fuck?
She might have a little bit of that Targaryen like dreamer seer in her.
Yeah, that's definitely, and she's got those weird vibes where it's like she, you know, that could be the role she plays, is like she's spouting off some stuff that matters for sure. Anything else, Kerr?
So yeah, I mean, I haven't watched the trailer yet. I'll watch it after we wrap up here, but. I'm excited for next week. That was episode 7. We only have 3 left. I would imagine next week would be a bit of a setup episode, just based on the organization of Game of Thrones. Episode 9 has historically been the best one, so I think 8 might be a bit of a setup, but we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. One last thought I had is Sea Smoke, Laenor's dragon. Where's Sea Smoke going? Is Sea Smoke gonna go with Laenor, or are they like unbonded now? And now, you know, Bela, Reyna, one of them can take Sea Smoke. I don't know, but that's just a thought I had. And I hope it gets addressed. I hope it's not just a plot hole that's out there.
Yeah, and honestly, what of the week they are for, you know, 6 minute ride and you're just switching allegiances like that? I mean, come on, that's,
yeah, that kind of sucks.
That's,
yeah,
brutal. You're the biggest baddest dragon in the game, and all of a sudden one joyride and you're taking over.
So this little weird kid, like, yeah, you're gonna let him be your king? Like, come on.
Brutal. So, all right, Kurt. Great episode though. Loved it. Thought it was the best of the season so far, honestly. And anything else from you? All good?
Yeah, all good. Looking forward to next week. As always, rate, review, and subscribe if you're a fan of the pod. Mm-hmm. And follow us on Twitter at Right After Hot D. Right After HOTD.
Right After Hot D for sure. We're here after every episode Sunday nights. That's why it's called Right After Dragons, because we are live right after. You can find our stream on the Twitter, Right After Hot D, Right After HOTD. And then we'll put out a preview pod later in the week to preview the upcoming episode after we get those photos, we get the name of the episode, we get all that. So, Kirk, great episode. Happy about it. Looking forward to next week. Looking forward to this week, previewing it, breaking down the trailer, everything that comes with the preview pod. But until next time, this has been Right After Dragons.